DDP yoga. Its very name is a contradiction unto itself.
Because it's not your mama's yoga.
I know you're always hearing me talk about how great this workout is for strengthening and healing your body.
I threw up my back.
I couldn't get out of a chair.
I want you to hear it from a WWE superstar.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards. I've really endorsed DDP yoga for a very long time, and I have to say, it's something that's become an addiction, a positive addiction, because zero impact, it really helped me speed up the healing process, staying injury-free, zero impact, and also eliminating the aches and pains in my neck and my knee and other areas that bother me every day.
I've been doing this for a couple weeks and people are starting to ask me, what's going on? You look great.
You're going to have to pry my dead hands off this yoga mat when I go. This is me now. This isn't imagine myself living without it.
Because if you didn't do the work when you did, I wouldn't be here doing the work now.
I've done trainers, I've done gym memberships, I've done everything. This is the first thing that I have stuck to.
It's time for you to influence yourself and to take control of your own life.
It's DDP
Radio.
High five.
It is another Wednesday night at 9 p.m., and you are once again with the show that loves to have you here. You're with DDP Radio and your hosts, Sparky, Robert, and Stacy. What's up, guys?
Hey, it's great to be here.
Quite the intro there. The show that loves to have you there.
Yes. Hey, we love our listeners, man. Almost everybody's a regular now.
Yeah, that's true, but I mean, generally shows love the people who actually bother to listen. That's you know, goes without saying.
Yeah, it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy there. So yeah. We have a pretty awesome show for you tonight and an awesome guest, but I wanted to take care of some business right up front with some DDP yoga stuff. If you haven't seen, there are still some great packages left up on DDPYoga.com, and they're still running some of the holiday stuff, right, Robert, as far as getting the pack and the max pack?
Mm-hmm, yeah, you're still getting it at a really reduced price compared to what we normally have it at.
So after you hear tonight with the guest we'll be bringing on here in a little bit, Nancy Gilberti, she's going to tell you how to sort of reboot yourself here with the new year. Not only with nutrition and how to take care of your body, you can combine that with the exercise in DDP yoga and look up those combo packs on DDPYoga.com. There are some pretty cool things happening as far as the workshops, right? There is one going on, and I saw Marlon said there were two just opened ultimate workshop packages, which they were previously sold out. Do you know what those two are still open?
Yeah, they're still open. We had sold out of them about a week or two ago, and because those spots go really, really quickly. But we had someone come up last minute today, so we've got two spots available right now.
So, and then all they have to do is basically get in touch with Marlon, right, to get into that.
Well, no, they just go to ddpyogaworkshops.com, and they can get all the information there.
Okay. In an awesome site, and that's actually that's this weekend, January 18th, down in the Accountability Crypt. So check that out if you are interested. If you want to start priming the lines and you have some questions for us or our guest tonight, that's 347-994-1216. Give us a buzz. Or if you're listening on the phone and you haven't gotten yourself into the chat yet and checked us out online, go to ddpradio.com and hop into the Blog Talk Radio chat there. There's a bunch of people in there already chatting it up, getting to know each other, so it's pretty cool. I want to give a shout-out to Mark Furness, who's joining us from across the pond, and Kevin Russo, who we haven't seen in a while, and Dave Orth. So I hope you guys are doing pretty well. But tonight we have an awesome guest, which we'll get to right off here if you guys are ready. And I don't know, Stacy, if you want to go ahead and bring her on, because she's sort of your find here and your get that we've had on as a recurring guest. It gives us a wealth of information.
Well, yeah, Nancy Guberti is, she's somebody that Dallas introduced us all to, I think it was somewhere between a year or 2 years ago, and I've learned a lot from her in the time that I've known her. She's a really wonderful, very knowledgeable nutritionist, and what I love about her practice and her philosophy is she really is a big believer in food as medicine. And she's going to be talking about the immune system tonight as well as some other things. And to top it all off, she's a wonderful human being. So I want to welcome you, Nancy. Thanks for coming on and taking time out of your busy life.
Well, thank you.
How are you doing?
For having me. Thank you.
Hey. Welcome, Nancy.
Thank you. Happy, healthy New Year.
Same to you. So, well, you were talking before we went on the air about just some of the things you were wanting to discuss in terms of immune system, which, you know, it's flu season and it's winter, so this is a perfect time to, you know, delve into that.
Okay. Well, I would love to. So when I talk about healthy living and natural detoxification remedies, this can jumpstart weight loss, but ultimately healthy lifestyle also is one where your immune system gets strong, and your immune system is what's going to shield yourself against all degenerative diseases. So there's something called immunotherapy, and we can accomplish that type of therapy with food, natural supplements, and natural detoxification. So the immune system is supposed to detect any type of infectious invaders, and it's supposed to destroy them, and it's supposed to remember. And that's how it builds up one system. If we're not taking care of ourselves in the form of food, and food is really number one way how we can either bring nutrient into our body or toxins into our body. So that would then also weaken one's immune system and leave us vulnerable for many things, not even degenerative disorders, but also candida and inflammatory responses. So coming off the holidays, some people tend to binge, or they tend not to stay on a healthy regimen, and they say, all right, I'll start in the new year. And then some people have a hard time getting back into the swing. So lots of times I get calls and emails of, I want to detoxify. I want to start off the new year detoxifying. And they will email me certain products and ask for certain, is there some fat burning, really fast metabolism type of product out there. And I always discourage one to go ahead with that, because non-invasive ways are much more gentle on one's body, and that's also going to be gentle on the immune system as one detoxifies. So if we start with detoxification first, the first thing that one can do is just change the eating habits, you know, lower the sugar intake, try to keep it 22 to 32 grams of sugar on a daily basis. And a lot of people freak out when they hear that, because they're up to about 100 to 150 grams of sugar on a daily basis. But just lowering that intake is a part of detoxification. Also adding in organic vegetables is also a part of detoxification, because you are lessening the toxic input into your body. But as far as cleansing and a quick detoxification, apple cider vinegar is one of my favorite go-tos. I personally like the brand that's Braggs, B-R-A-G-G-S, and there's a picture of it on my Pinterest page, which is just Nancy Guberti, and I put all the foods that I eat on there and the products that I would recommend. So apple cider vinegar is something that's been utilized for centuries, and it actually stimulates circulation and aids detoxification in our liver pathways. So that's something we really want to do.
And how much would you drink?
Well, it really depends on, I would go slow. I would start with a teaspoon. Now, I have some people that have it several times a day before a meal. I personally like to start the day off with a teaspoon of apple cider vinegar and a half of a lemon squeezed, you know, into lukewarm or even warm, you know, heated water, you know, 4 to 6 ounces. If you start your day off with that, you're going to actually start the liver enzymes, start the detoxification. You're going to cleanse your lymph nodes, so that's better for circulation. You could also break up mucus. So you mentioned about flu and cold season. It actually starts to break up mucus throughout the body. And then you had also, we were talking about candida. It also helps with candida and breaking down. So candida is an overgrowth of really fungus on the intestines, and many people say, well, how does candida grow in the first place? There are several ways. Intaking too much sugar is one. Other is being stressed out, not having enough sleep. And anytime one would take an antibiotic, and you might not think you've had an antibiotic in years, but if you're having regular milk and regular cheese and regular dairy products and regular meat, for that fact, you're getting antibiotics. So those are some ways that we could have candida. So this apple cider vinegar and lemon is a really gentle detoxification. What we also see is people digest their food better. So start the day off with one. I would do that, especially if you're coming off of an unhealthy eating pattern. I would just start just that once in the morning. And then if you want to then increase it, I would wait after a week or two, and then you could add another of this apple cider drink right before, you know, 15 minutes before you have lunch or dinner.
Okay.
So you were talking about the candida, and I read a little bit about that. I don't know if everybody knows maybe is some symptoms of that or how bad that can actually get. Can you just maybe hit on that for the people as far as, you know, how they might tell that they have it and how common it is to get that?
Yes. Okay. So, unfortunately, it's very common. There are some telltale signs. Mental fogginess, craving sugar, having a bloated stomach, having issues with elimination. Also, if you have candida overgrowth really bad, you know, so it grows on the stomach and then it will then saturate that area and then move on to other areas. Mm-hmm. So that's where we could see toe fungus. We could see a ringworm. We could see different rashes in the scalp, rashes on the body, on any of your nails. So those symptoms are also linked to candida.
And I think you can also, you can have it and live with it and not really know, because I actually got tested for it. You recommended that. And basically you told me I had like a candida jungle on my stomach lining and I wasn't really absorbing nutrients, which really shocked me and kind of woke me up. And that's why I started with the no sugar.
Exactly, because when you have candida, you have inflammation on the stomach lining. And therefore, it's a biofilm. So, like, it's blocking the absorption of your nutrients. And now you don't get the message that you're full. You don't get the craving for the right foods. You're going to crave the stuff that is feeding this, because it is an organism that needs to live off of your food. And so that's a really, really big problem. And once you get rid of it, that's when you realize, oh, wow, I can't believe how great I feel. Even if you're very fatigued, feeling tired and run down. So chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia are also can be linked to candida. The bloating, the constipation, the diarrhea. Also a lot of thyroid issues and arthritis, lupus, psoriasis, all these things are linked in there. Poor memory, lack of focus. We see a lot of, like, individuals come in and say, I have executive ADD. And then you know, because of the brain fog. And we look at their diet, and then I recommend a particular functional medicine test that determines the, A, are there any candida strands in this person's body? And if so, how high are they? So then if we remove that, all of a sudden they're able to get mental clarity and able to, you know, get more accomplished in their day. So was it executive ADD? No, because it went away. Irritability and mood swings, anxiety. If you have a lot of candida, we see that this links into anxiety because the candida puts stress on the adrenal system, and that's a problem as well. Other issues are like itchy ears, itchy skin, but that strong craving for the refined carbohydrates and sugar. I always say we get rid of that candida, those cravings are really going to minimize, but we have to get rid of it.
Wow. That, you know, I read a little bit about the mental fogginess, but how the, like, the rashes and stuff show up, but all the other stuff you added to it, that's actually pretty scary. Now, Stacey, you said you got tested for it, and Nancy, that's something that you do. How would somebody go about wanting to get checked out for that?
So there's certain labs that do functional medicine testing, and, you know, all you have to do is contact me on my website, and depending where you live, I can send you the urine collection cup, and then when that comes back, we process it in our Connecticut office, and then about 2.5 weeks later to 3 weeks, depending if there's any holidays or anything going on during that time of year, once I get the test results, I then analyze that with what is gathered from my intake forms, and usually during a consultation, we review that because I need to know where the person's at, what type of medical history they presented with, because that also tells me, did they, you know, have this for so long? Is there something chronic? Is there long-term, short-term? And then what I do is create customized regimens based upon the information of where this person's at, you know, in their life and their eating, and then the test results as well. And then what if there's huge imbalances, that's what we work on first. So I don't like throwing 1,000 things at a person without an order. There's a method to the madness. We have to get rid of, say someone has candida, you have to get rid of candida first because they're not absorbing nutrients from their food, nor are they absorbing nutrients from their supplements. So they could be taking a bunch of supplements, and it's a waste because it's not getting through that lining. It's almost like you think of a kitchen sink or a bathroom sink, and now it's clogged, right? And the water won't go down. And you have to get some liquid, you know, solvent to get that out, to clean that pipe. Same thing with your intestines. We have to remove that sludge off of the intestines so the body can absorb. And remember, your immune system is located, 80 to 90% of your immune system is located on your GI tract. Imagine if you have candida or bacteria and you have inflammation, what happens? Your immune system takes a hit. So that is now going to put stress on your adrenal system. Now you have adrenal system fatigue and you're irritable and you're just mentally tired. Your dopamine levels are low. Your serotonin levels are low. So you're craving chocolates to bring them up. It's just one big mess.
Yeah, and I was really greatly helped by, you know, I went pretty cold turkey with the sugar, you know, the white table sugar. But for people who are trying to wean themselves off, but they still want, you know, they want to enjoy something sweet, what are some things that can be viable?
Well, so if they want something sweet, again, we say, know what you're putting in your body, right? So get an idea of where you are now. I believe in awareness. The person should not, no one should be told, eat this, eat that. No. Know who you are. Know what your body's craving. Why is it craving? And I mentioned this about our relationship with food. So why am I having the sugar craving? Is it perhaps I'm stressed out? Is it perhaps my serotonin levels are very low, my adrenal system is low, or I have candida, and something stronger than my mindset and my willpower is taking over in a biomedical sense. So where am I at now? Okay, I'm at 100, you know, grams of sugar on a daily basis. I'm not going to go cold turkey. So what do I want to go to? So first, let's cut it down to 50, and then let's cut it down even further. Then we look at, well, what are you choosing for the sugary things? How about, you know, does this person eat fruit? Well, now let's look at fruit in a different manner. You know, kiwis are very sweet, but they also provide a lot of vitamin C. They're also very good for the collagen. They're great for your skin. Another thing are apples. You know, just biting into an apple or a pear, to me, is pretty boring. But if you poach it, you know, cut it in half, put some cinnamon on it, and bake it and poach it in water, it gets so sweet and it's so tasty. Or you can take that apple and slice it and put some cinnamon on it, which will also help your blood sugar levels and your cravings, and then sprinkle some almonds on it to give it protein. That's if you can eat nuts. So, like, let's think out of the box and not go for something sweet in a box, but instead say, well, there is something else that could satisfy this need or this desire of mine. And then there is, I always like to mention, there is an organic hot chocolate that's out there that has very little sugar because it uses coconut sugar. And that's on the Pinterest. So that's something where, you know, if you really want a sweet treat, you can get some, like, unsweetened alternative milk would be the healthiest, like an unsweetened coconut or an unsweetened sunflower seed milk. Warm that up. Take a teaspoon of this hot chocolate that's healthy for you. It's all organic and very low sugar. And would that satisfy you? And then it's always getting back to, why am I needing this? And, okay, how many times? If I'm eating sugar 10 times a day, let's minimize it. If I'm the type of person that always has to chew, you know, different candies, well, there are certain vitamins. There's a cranberry flavored vitamin that's called Love Bites. It's in the shape of a heart. That's really good to chew on. You know, so things like that, if I need something to constantly chew, if I'm a person who just stopped smoking and we need something, you know, to replace that cigarette, those things are pretty good too, and they taste great, and they're also giving you cranberry concentrate and some vitamin C.
Cool. And speaking of fruit, oh, sorry, Spark, I just had a quick question from one of our listeners over in the UK who's not listening tonight, but he wanted me to ask about fruit and is there a such thing as too much? Because he's really into the fruit and veggies now that he's eating clean. He said sometimes, though, he'll eat 8 to 10 clementines a day.
Okay.
And
so,
is that too much?
So... fruit's good, right? That, especially if it's organic. Though, if we're having too much of something, to me, it's telling me that there could be some type of vitamin mineral imbalance going on in his body. So that's one thing. The second thing is, if we do have a candida problem, the fruit will feed candida. So vegetables won't. You know, if we're talking about vegetables, well, if we're talking about vegetables like carrots, well, that's sugary. But if we're talking about vegetables like green leafy vegetables, our broccoli, our kale, our Swiss chard, all of those, that's great. So I would rather have them have more of that. A regular clementine has about 7 grams of sugar. So if he's having 10, that would be 70 grams of sugar on a daily basis. So it's very low in calories, say like 35 calories and, you know, 0.1 gram of fat, which is nothing. And it has potassium. He may be low in potassium, vitamin C. So here we're talking about minerals and we're talking about vitamins. He may have a deficiency, so he's going for that. So I would say let's cut that in half and replace those times with more green leafy vegetables. And if he's having the vegetables raw, he could even juice with the raw vegetables. You know, like one of my favorite go-tos is a head of kale, and I like the sweeter kale, and that's either Dino kale or Lacento kale, and I use that, and then I put parsley and cilantro because that helps detoxify heavy metals, and it also, if one is eating out in restaurants, it also will get rid of the sodium. So if you put those in, and then you could add celery, which is great for your kidneys and detoxification, and then I usually throw in two lemons, and then to sweeten it, I would throw in either one pear or one apple.
Well, that's a lot of stuff. I love some basil and cilantro in a juice, but it's funny you said that about clementines because I have been craving sweets and carbs past the holidays, and I'm like, if I grab at least something, fruit, something organic, I've been grabbing clementines, sort of satisfy my sweet tooth, and I'm probably eating five myself a day. Uh-huh.
And what about your vegetable intake?
I'm doing a lot of baby kale and spinach.
And are you juicing the baby kale and spinach, or are you eating it?
I'm eating it. I saute it with
And do you saute it with garlic and olive oil?
A little EVOO. I like garlic every now and then, yeah.
Okay. So I would, you know, I could mention other fruits and vegetables that aid in detoxification, and you could see if you like any of these that you'd like to add.
Oh, yeah, roll with it.
Okay, so I'm a big fan of apples because they're high in pectin, which is a fiber that actually binds to cholesterol and also heavy metals again. So it will eliminate toxic buildup and it cleanses the intestines. Let's see, cabbage. I don't know if anyone's a fan of cabbage, but cabbage is great to add to, raw cabbage is great to add to salads, and it is anti-cancer, antioxidant. It helps the liver break down any excess of hormones. It does also cleanse the digestive tract, and any damaging compounds found in cigarette smoke, even secondhand smoke. So cabbage is really potent with cleansing the body and detoxification. Now celery is something really good because you could chew it. You know, like sometimes just having juice is not good because we're not satisfied. We didn't chew anything. So celery is excellent because it's a blood cleanser. And it has many anti-cancer compounds. It actually helps detoxify cancer cells from the body and has anti-inflammatory components to it. So that's another one that's really good. I love garlic. You know, cooking with garlic is great. Raw garlic, you know, has an odor to it, but let me tell you, that wipes out intestinal parasites and viruses from your body. So being cold and flu season, if you ever come down with those beginning symptoms, I would say make yourself some good homemade chicken broth and then chop up garlic and put that into the broth and just drink it all. It's great for respiratory tract as well as expelling the mucus buildup in your lungs and your sinuses. Really, really is good. Kale is wonderful. Spinach is great. Let's see, Swiss chard is another one. Broccoli's great, but you don't want to have that raw because if you have any thyroid issues, it's actually bad for you. So it has powerful antioxidant properties, but I would say steam it. And if some people don't like broccoli, I mean, you could squeeze lemon on it. You could drizzle some apple cider vinegar on it. You could dress it up a bit. Another one is, I don't know if you like Brussels sprouts, but that's really good, very good for you. Collard greens are, again, very good. And watercress is another one that is great for detoxification. Dandelion, you know, dandelions could be a little bitter, but if you saute them. And then fennel. Fennel is something, you know, if you like crunchy, fennel is really good because it's rich in vitamin C and it has antimicrobial and antioxidant properties. So, and it cleanses your body because it's very high in fiber but low in calories. So that's another good crunchy food.
I've never had fennel. That sounds like something I need to try. Now, all the greens, do those also have a decent amount of calcium in them? So I know we talk to a lot of people who are going off dairy and whatnot, and sometimes people are concerned about getting the calcium. Is that a good way to do that too?
Definitely. And, you know, we have to remember, if we think we're getting our calcium from pasteurized milk, we're not, because they heat it up over 112 degrees and they lose. So when we do this pasteurization of milk, we actually lose the enzyme that helps you absorb the calcium. So that's really, you know, not going to be helpful for us. I mean, we can take calcium citrate, and calcium citrate is really advantageous with magnesium citrate for the body. Now, if one is having a lot of these green vegetables raw, they're also high in a compound called oxalates. And if one is vulnerable to kidney stones, or one is vulnerable to a lot of joint pain, then I would recommend that they take calcium citrate before they consume any green leafy vegetable, because these vegetables are high in oxalates, and for a person who could break down oxalates, it's not a problem. So the functional medicine test that I like to recommend is a test that checks over 74 markers, and 3 of the markers are oxalates to determine if the individual has the enzymes to break down the oxalates. Funny enough, or interesting enough, oxalates also can be a byproduct of candida. So candida is doing a lot of harm in so many different areas. And that could be the link of why candida can also cause joint pain, because then it's actually elevating one's oxalates.
So if
one is concerned about the calcium, I would recommend them taking calcium citrate on a daily basis. And again, a nice way to absorb calcium citrate is to have magnesium citrate. And especially if they're starting the yoga program, sometimes people may complain about trolley horses or their muscles aching, and magnesium is something that also helps with that, as well as potassium.
That's awesome. That's great stuff. I never realized that candida could be that invasive. Now,
yeah,
all that talk has gotten people chatting in the chat room. I know Stacy got some emails, and we actually have a caller. Are you ready to take a question from a caller?
Sure.
All right. And Robert will bring him in. Who do we have?
Hey, guys. This is Calvin.
Calvin, how are you?
Hey, Calvin.
I'm doing all right. I got a question for Nancy. Usually, you know, they tell you to eat fiber to help stuff through your digestive tract and stuff like that. But I actually found out that there's a gag reflex from sticking my finger up my asshole. I then get shit come flying out like.
Okay, get them off. Thanks for the call, Calvin. Sorry about that, Nancy.
I would just say drink more water.
Yeah.
All right.
Well,
moving on. I know you got some stuff over there on your side, Stacey.
Yeah, I've got a couple of questions from emails. The first is, you know, you've talked in the past about casein and why it's not good. And this listener wants to know what to look for in terms of protein drinks, because there's so much whey out there. Mm-hmm. What are some real quality sources of protein for powder?
So I would go with, there these are the ones that I would recommend. So I wouldn't recommend anything with whey. And you also have to look at the protein powders that have casein or caseinate in it. And actually, caseinate you can even find in bread products, believe it or not. But I would go with either hemp powder. I would. I like the pea protein, rice protein. I mean, rice and pea protein have a really nice taste to it, but you could also add hemp powder to increase the protein levels. Prescribed Choice and Zymogen are two of my favorite protein powders, and there's no, it's vegan, so there's no whey in it whatsoever. And most of these companies are actually using stevia to sweeten the powders, which is also a nice added benefit because you don't, so you want to look at what's the protein, what's the carbohydrate, and what's the sugar, what content of all of those.
Okay. And how about, did you say egg white protein powder?
An egg white is also good if one doesn't have an allergy.
Okay. Great. And the other question I have from a listener, is this is a little more specific, and maybe it's too, you know, involved, but he has a very specific type of anemia, which makes him, I guess, things like legumes and soy and gluten-free products containing legumes, I guess, give him an adverse reaction. Are there any particular foods you recommend that might help that?
So he's looking for a food that doesn't have any legumes in it. But he wants to be gluten-free, I'm assuming, and he's having a hard time?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Okay. So, well, and I'd be interested in, did he mention what his blood type was?
No, only that what he has is called a class 1 G6PD.
Okay.
Accompanied by chronic non-spherocytic hemolytic anemia.
Okay.
I've never heard of that.
And it's also interesting to know if he can't handle any or, like, if he can handle something. I mean, lots of people can't handle, believe it or not, legumes. So, like quinoa, I would be interested if he could actually handle quinoa because that is a grain and it's gluten-free.
Mm-hmm.
It is a non-legume grain. So I would go, they have quinoa pasta, they have quinoa cereal, they have quinoa flakes. So, you know, he could then get breakfast food that way, and even lunch and dinner. There's a lot of products. I know Whole Foods has a nice quinoa salad where they add then cranberries to it, and he could add that to a protein. Now, if he really, and if he has a problem with it to that extent, then he's going to have to also look into, if he does eat meat, he's going to have to find out what those animals are being fed and make sure, he's going to have to call the farm or call the corporation and make sure that those animals aren't fed any legumes.
Oh, wow. Okay, so he's got some research ahead of him.
I would definitely go after the quinoa, and I would go slow, and he should be fine with it. And then buckwheat might also be good for him as well. But I would only introduce one food item at a time and wait at least 4 days before I introduce anything else. And then he should also, again, if he does eat any animal protein, find out what they're eating. Because I know, for instance, my son had a very strong allergy to corn and soy, so we had to make sure the animals, any animal protein he ate, was grass-fed, grass-finished, and never got any grain or anything else.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. I think that's it on my end. Sparky, Robert, do we have any more callers?
Actually, I would say luckily this time we don't have any more callers tonight.
Thanks.
I know somebody else might be calling, but I did see Boomer in the chat was his ears peaked up when we were talking about broccoli and having that an impact on a thyroid. He said that might actually be a condition that he and his wife were dealing with and didn't know if that impacted high-functioning, low-functioning thyroid.
You know, I wouldn't have – I just wouldn't have raw broccoli for anybody, quite frankly, because it can just – overall thyroid function can be affected. You know, I don't know why or how it ever started, where we started dipping broccoli into all these different dips and every, you know, thing. It's really not good to have any of that. So I would just stay away if he's suspecting any thyroid issue. And the funny thing is, you know, we do a lot of thyroid testing that has to do with blood, and you really should check the free binding and the binding. There's several different levels of thyroid. If you're going to a conventional doctor, you don't want to just check one, because you can go from hypo to hyper very, you know, it depends. It could switch depending on medicine or natural supplements, the stress level one has, the food one's having, eating as well. So I would just recommend taking the broccoli and steaming it, and then and having it that way, or sauteing it in olive oil, lemon juice, garlic, but not definitely not having it raw for anybody.
Yeah, I don't know why people do the raw thing anyway, because like you said, all the dips and stuff, people are just taking it, slathering it in ranch, and for the most part, they're eating broccoli with ranch dip. You know?
Yeah.
Right, and even with salad, you know, people have to like, oh, I eat a salad, and I don't know why I'm not, you know, it's not helping me. It depends what you're putting on the salad, you know, and that's another thing where you could use apple cider vinegar. So there are some gluten-free dressings like vinaigrettes, and then you could even add apple cider vinegar to that. Or you could take apple cider vinegar, a little olive oil, some mustard, and some spices like oregano and garlic, and mix it all together and just make your own. But that's something that one can do to help. And another thing that I want to mention about detoxification is it's not just what you put inside your body. It's also what you put on your body. So your skin is your largest organ for absorption and elimination. So you should be aware of the personal beauty products that one's using, shaving creams, deodorants, any type of lotions, as well as your laundry detergents. You know, if it's one of these, even if it's a popular brand and it says free of dyes and chemicals and perfumes, then that's great. But if it's not, smell your clothes. And if they smell like they've been perfumed or cologne on them, that's an artificial, you know, ingredient that they add. It's a chemical and it's carcinogenic, and it's really not healthy for you. So if you're detoxifying from the inside out, you also have to detoxify on the outside. And if I'm a fan of all these different vinegars, if you use white distilled vinegar and put a splash of that, worth like a half a cup of that every time you do your laundry, you will eventually get that artificial chemical smell out of your clothing, your towels, your sheets, and that really helps. And then if you take showers, it's really good to get a filter that takes out the chlorine and a few other bad stuff in there. And even Home Depot now carries those shower heads that have the filter. And if you take baths, then you can put a cup of Epsom salt, and that draws out toxins through the skin and will help jumpstart the cleansing process. Besides that, if you have any joint pain or any pains after doing your yoga program, that's a great great way to soothe the muscles, because it also has magnesium sulfate in it. So it detoxifies, but it's also very soothing for like sports nutrition.
Yeah, and even an Epsom salt foot bath is really soothing. It pulls toxins out of you. I do that sometimes. But we have a question from the chat room about protein and protein sources. Kevin wants to know how many times per week is average or good for like organic chicken and beef, and if it's recommended to cut back on that a little, what are some good alternative protein sources?
Okay, so that's a great question. So it goes to can I break down the protein? So if one can break down protein, then if you're eating a healthy protein, again, if it's going to be a cow, bison, you know, elk, any of those, grass-fed, grass-finished would be really good. If it's a chicken, at least organic, you know, make sure that they're not eating genetically modified anything. There's no arsenic in their food. So if you can break it down, and how would you know if you could break it down? Well, do you have bloatedness after you ate? Do you feel really heavy, fatty? Do you have any acid reflux, gas, all of those things? Then you probably need help breaking them down, and that's where you would want a digestive enzyme with something called protease in it, because protease is the enzyme that breaks down proteins. So if you don't have a problem breaking it down, great. Now, it all depends if you're a male or if you're female, if you have menstrual cycles, because that also goes into lowering our B12 levels. If it's a healthy protein and it's coupled with a healthy vegetable, green, leafy ones, then we keep the pH balance of the meal even. If we just have the meat, it's going to be too acidic. But if we add the vegetable, then we're adding alkaline. That's really good. So this is like a complex answer because it's really a complex question. I would say like switch it up. You know, so one day have your really healthy animal protein, if that's what you're into, with a vegetable. And then the next day you can go for, my favorite sources of protein that are vegan would be Total Asian makes this pasta, and they have a spaghetti made out of black bean that has like 22 grams of protein, and they have a fettuccine made out of mung bean. That's if you could handle the bean. So that's another thing. Some people like in the winter time to make all of these lentil soups, cannoli, you know, all these cannoli beans and all that. What I would say with that is I like if they're dried lentils and then you soak them overnight in filtered water. And what I always do is if it's, you know, it's a still water in a bowl, I always throw in some cloves of garlic. The reason behind the soaking for 24 hours, so it's a little preparation, is that it takes out the long chain sugar that one cannot break down, and that's why they get gassy after they have beans. So there are some, I believe there is two companies now that do offer them in a can, and you know, you want to check that it's BPA free so you're not getting chemicals from the can, that say that they were pre-soaked. I don't know how long they were pre-soaked. That's what you have to call the company. I mean, to me it's just easier to buy it and rinse it overnight, you know, and then cook with it so no one has that problem. Because once you have gas and bloating after you eat anything, you're not absorbing the nutrients. There's a problem in our digestion. So I would switch it up. I would do one night animal, the next night this one of these pastas, the next night another thing. If you have the shakes, you know, the protein from the hemp, from the rice or the pea, that's another way that you're getting in protein. It also depends on your activity level. We don't want you to work out and then not fuel the body with the right nutrients either. So this varies from person to person, but here are some different options. even if you're eating your vegetables, I mean, that also has a little protein. Every vegetable that you eat has a little protein as well. It's just different protein. The quinoa has protein. Sunflower seed butter has about 7 grams of protein. So we could get protein from different sources and keep the variety of that going throughout the day to keep your blood sugar level even so your energy is up there as well.
Great, thanks. And, Spark, we have a couple callers now.
Yeah, we have a couple callers on the line, so we'll go ahead and pull one of those in real quick. Tell us where you're from, who you are, and you're on with Nancy. What's up?
Hello, is this me?
This is you. Who are you?
Hey, it's Boomer.
Boomer,
hey, Don.
How are you?
Hey, Boomer.
Yeah, I actually was calling in. You know, I heard the thing on the thyroid that I asked. I was actually calling in because of my wife. This time, like I'm not doing the gluten free, dairy free, but I may actually end up doing it because, you know, I found out my wife, she's been getting sick for a long time, in her gastrointestines, that type of sickness, and we never really, you know, understood what was happening. And now, like that, we're both home. I realized she's actually passing out when she gets sick. And so she's been going to the doctor for like the past year, and they've been trying to figure out what it is. And they even come up with some kind of weird, you know, like genetic disease. But nobody's ever come up, you know, with like celiacs. And now the gastro guy is starting to look at that, and they're going to do a look at her, I guess it's her small intestine, and, mm-hmm. you know, they just did some type of test. So, you know, I was just calling in about that, and, you know, my question is other than celiacs, how much more does gluten and also the dairy affect the gastrointestinal tract? Because I really don't know much about, like on myself, when I went gluten or dairy free, I just did it for the diet part of it. And when I stopped, I didn't feel any, you know, different effects. And, you know, I just did it to lose weight. But, you know, for my wife, I think it's more health related. And I told her, I said, you know, it'd be, if, you know, she wants to try this to see if it'll work, you know, obviously I can help her do it because I've done it before, and you know, I have lots of friends that do it, and I can get lots of recipes and all that and support her in it. But I was just wondering, you know, how that all works as far as you know, how the dairy plays in that too, as far as, I mean, I sort of know a little bit about celiacs, but I don't know much about like the dairy part of it.
Okay.
So I was wondering if, you know, if you could just talk to me about that or anything.
Yes, I have a question for you. How long did you try the diet?
I tried the diet. Well, I was doing the diet. I was gluten and dairy free from May of 2012 till probably March of 2013. But I lost a lot of weight. But
right.
I wasn't, you know, I didn't feel any, you know, different effects of anything. But I didn't. You know, I have Parkinson's disease. My Parkinson's disease didn't cure. I wasn't expecting it to. And I didn't feel any, you know, I didn't feel any better health-wise.
Okay.
As far as, you know, I mean, I didn't feel anything happen to me health-wise, you know, other than I lost weight. And,
right.
you know, some of my joints felt better, but that was more, I thought, because I lost weight, not because of the swelling going down and all that. Now, I'm not saying that couldn't have been that. I'm
mm-hmm.
not saying it couldn't have been inflammation leaving, you know, as a lot of people say.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, this time when I decided I was going to, you know, try to lose weight again and try to do the program again, I saw a nutritionist, and I just wanted to not do any type of diet or some type of fad thing that I couldn't live with. And so that's, you know, I just wanted to do a different way, and I've been doing it, and I've been losing like 2 pounds a week, and it's something I thought I could live with. And then when my wife, you know, she's been getting sick, and I said, well, maybe I will go on the gluten-free, dairy-free again for you, you know, and help her. But for me, I didn't want to do it again, but I might end up doing it.
Okay. So thank you for that clarification. So there's – okay. So celiac is one total different thing, and sometimes it's very hard to determine that. It's really gluten intolerance that is very common, widespread. Now, if one chooses to eat gluten and casein, it definitely has to be organic because over 90% of gluten, wheat, crops are genetically modified. So that means it's engineered in a lab, it's injected with a bacterium, and it is loaded with pesticides. So if one chooses to stay on gluten, that's fine, right? Just make sure it's organic. If one chooses to continue to eat dairy products, again, that's a person's preference, and that's fine too, but it should be organic for the casein and the dairy because your milk and your ice cream and your butter and your cheese and your yogurt, for that matter, if it's not organic, it is loaded with antibiotic residual as well as growth hormones. So there is, for the casein, it's hormonal, right? And there's hormones in there. And also just what it turns into, the chemical compounds, it is linked to breast cancer and prostate cancer. That's number one. Gluten is known to, it's a sticky substance. It's known to create inflammation, inflammatory responses. Now, yes, you felt better, but you had also lost the weight. I would definitely say that you started to feel good because it took away the inflammation. It improved your mobility. It also reduces one's blood pressure. It starts to remove the toxins. Now, it can take up to a year to feel, to really, A, get everything out of one's body. So there's a particular test that we do that checks for peptides of casein and gluten in someone's body. And if they stop eating those foods, right, we see that the gluten can go down, but the casein does not necessarily go down as fast because it's a fat soluble. It's not water soluble. So your cells hold on to the fat. So that's a problem. I would definitely, if one is on a gluten and casein diet, I would definitely make sure they have digestive enzymes because it's very hard to break down, and then it can feed candida and it can cause inflammation. So if we could break it down and process it and get it out of our body, that would be great. I would recommend eating a gluten-free, casein-free diet, but we don't want to just substitute gluten and casein for unhealthy gluten-free products. And I think that could also be a big factor in when one goes from one, well, are they replacing it with processed foods? Oh, great, it's gluten-free. It may also be casein-free, but it's high in sugar. It's high in carbohydrates. And, you know, like 15 years ago, if you weren't on gluten, then the only other choice was maize flour. There wasn't almond flour and, you know, hazelnut flour and chestnut flour or even quinoa and rice. It really wasn't very popular. So back then, it was going from one drug to a lesser drug. But now, when you look at a gluten-free product, you want to check what are the ingredients. And you don't want the maize, which is the corn, because that is also inflammatory and excitotoxic. So we don't want to go from one bad thing to another. If we really look at what a healthy diet is, we want a balanced meal. We want to make sure we're getting our minerals and our vegetables. If we have a, you know, it's great to have a protein, even if it's animal protein or if it's vegan protein, we need a protein. We need vegetables. you know, if an individual just increases the vegetable consumption, and again, not the high sugar ones or the high glycemic ones, that is also going to enhance one's diet. So if we can do that, and then if someone needs something to fill them up, that's when we could go for the brown rice or the quinoa or one of these mung pasta or black bean pasta. So I would definitely recommend doing the diet together, especially if she's having so many GI issues. Casein is one of the hardest things to break down. So if I'm a cow, I have several compartments to my stomach, and there's several processes that it goes through to break this food down. But if I'm not, then I have one stomach, you know, and it's very difficult to break down dairy products. Very, very difficult. So if I can't break something down, it then causes inflammation. It puts stress on my digestion. It puts stress on my elimination, my adrenal system, my thyroid, and my hormones. And then all of that is going to suppress my immune system.
Can I ask you one more question? Like a quick question? My wife, she has like multiple autoimmune diseases. Like she has diabetes and she has Graves' disease.
Mm-hmm.
And is celiac considered an autoimmune disease? And if you do have multiple autoimmune disease, are you more likely to have, celiacs? The only reason I'm asking that is because they did do a blood test, and the blood test itself didn't show the celiacs. But now they are going to do, like, I guess a biopsy of her intestine. First they're going to do a CAT scan. As I was studying it, you know, I saw that there's a lot of testing they have to do besides the blood test. So I was just wondering, is it an autoimmune disease, and are you more likely to get it if you have other autoimmune diseases?
So that's a good question. Celiac disease is generally considered an autoimmune disorder of the small intestine, and it occurs usually in genetically predisposed people. And it could happen from infancy up. So we don't know how long, if she has it, was she living with it. Now, interesting that they are going further into the testing. So one of these doctors must suspect that that's going on. The blood test for celiac comes back more times than less, it comes back a false reading. So the biopsy is truly the best way to test that. So someone is suspecting that. Now, all these other autoimmune, I mean, just having eczema is autoimmune, asthma is autoimmune, but she has all these other things. And how much can that immune system handle? But then it looks, and, you know, so now it goes throughout the other functioning of the body. The thyroid is going to take a hit. The adrenal system is going to take a hit. So what we want to do also is see how are her vitamin C levels. What state do you live in?
Pennsylvania.
Okay, so you want to ask your doctor if it's legal to check for vitamin C levels in blood. So you would want to know, how's vitamin C? How's glutathione? So vitamin C is the precursor to glutathione, and that's the major antioxidant in your body that boosts one's immune system and protects you against degenerative disorders. So she's got Graves' disease. I mean, she's got a few autoimmune disorders. And gluten intolerance usually, goes, they're intertwined with those as well.
All right. Well, thank you very much. That's why I was listening tonight, because I saw you were on, and I was concerned about her, and I really appreciate you answering my questions, and I know there's a lot more callers.
I hope all goes well.
All right. Thank you very much, ma'am. Have a nice day.
Bye.
Good call, Boone. Thanks for calling in. So we're pushing 10 o'clock, Nancy. I don't know how long you have, but I think we might have one more caller and another question in the queue. Are you good to go?
That's great.
Okay. Do we still have that caller online?
Hello?
Hey, you're on DDP Radio with Nancy. Who do we have?
Yeah. This is Dwayne.
Dwayne, how you doing?
My question, I've been working to do this gluten-free, dairy-free, chemical-free, but and doing pretty good with it. Question I've got, I've given up on refined sugars, but I'm using honey. What's the thoughts there? And I'm using raw organic honey from a local.
Okay. Have you had any adverse reactions with the honey?
No, I don't use a lot of it, but, you know, when I, like for baking or something, I put it in there.
Mm-hmm. And how much of it do you use for baking?
Oh, depends on, you know, what I'm making, but usually about half of what it calls for in sugar.
And then it gets heated?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So another question is, does that satisfy your sugar cravings? Or do you still have them with the, you know, as you consume the honey, do you want more? Do you have sugar cravings for other things?
I'm diabetic, so I have a certain amount of cravings, but I do mostly with stevia. But just something that doesn't work well, and that's why I use the honey.
Okay, because I was going to say, if you know, my personal choice would be stevia over the honey. You know, raw honey, if we heat it, there's, you know, can feed candida. That's why I was asking, does it help with the sugar cravings? I mean, stevia is great if you're diabetic. I have baked with it in the, you know, it makes it sweet. You just have to know the equivalent, you know. So if
I guess I just haven't had much luck there, and with the honey, I do a little better.
Okay. So because if it's not a consistency thing, then I would just, do you know how much you were using of the stevia when you were baking? Do you remember?
No, I don't.
So if the, you know, that's really what I would try with that, because that's going to be the best thing for you. Depending on what brand you use, so again, the stevia should be organic. It shouldn't be processed. There's a company now that makes one that's, you know, organic, and it's really, they don't add additional ingredients, because believe it or not, some of those, some companies add lactose to it, which is milk. I have no idea why they would add that. And some add some artificial ingredients as well. But they do say, like, you know, it depends on where you see it. Like a cup of sugar, you know, you wouldn't want to use. Sometimes they would say like a tablespoon would equal a cup of sugar. Well, that's, it really, really depends on the brand, because some brands of it is much sweeter than the other. So I remember when I would bake with it, I would use like a third of a cup to a cup of sugar. So I would not bake a big batch of anything, just so you could play around with it. And even, you know, if you're making cookies or if you're making a cake, like make a cupcake instead, that type of size, so you could play with the measurements. And then once you get it right, I would go with that, especially being diabetic and it doesn't, you know, it would be much better for your body.
Okay. I guess the only other issue I've had since I've started trying this is having more frequently going low sugar lately. It's like the carbs, the no gluten carbs, don't seem to stay with me overnight.
Right.
So
right.
I end up waking up with low sugars.
So you know what I would suggest is having one of the high protein shakes in the evening, so you don't wake up with you know, with too low sugar. So you can get one of these high protein shakes and use like unsweetened sunflower seed, or if you like the unsweetened coconut, you know, get one of the unsweetened milks and use the high protein and have that in the evening, so you don't have, you know, the blood sugar level problem, because that's not good either.
milk that I use is the goat's milk.
Okay. And how much sugar is in there? Do you know?
I don't know. I don't use it that much except on cereal or to bake with.
So I would, you know, I would venture out and try one of these other milks and use the goat milk if it doesn't bother you and it's serving you for your cereal and your baking. And I would go for one of these unsweetened milks that you could pick up either a health food store or Whole Foods, and sometimes even large chain supermarkets are carrying them now. And I would try that to see if that helps with the sugar. I mean, it tastes great, so it's just a matter of, you know, that should serve you.
Okay. I hadn't tried any shakes or anything, so.
Yeah, I would definitely, you know, because it's too many hours having too low sugar, and then you wake up all shaky and stuff, and it really could throw you all off for the day.
It's actually more missing my sleep. I've got a service dog that wakes me up when my sugars go low.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I would definitely, you know, if you're online, you could, you know, check out my Pinterest page. There's pictures of those milks, and they're really good, and they're satisfying, and that would help you, and then you'd be able to sleep because the dog won't wake you up.
All righty. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call, Dwayne. And I think we have two more last questions from the chat that Stacy's got up.
Yeah, these are quickie questions from Don in September. They just wondered if you could quickly list a few virtues of chia seeds and psyllium seed husks.
Okay. So chia seeds are lovely because they reduce food cravings. They will actually help lower blood pressure, and they're rich in omega-3s. I would say, again, if you could get them organic, that's really good. They also help with weight loss because they really make you feel full much faster, and they absorb 10 times their weight in water, forming a bulky gel. It provides hydration for sports athletes, so that's good for exercising. It reduces one's blood pressure. The omega-3s are really very important. They're vital fats that protect against inflammation, such as arthritis and heart disease. They actually have more omega-3 than salmon. What else? They are benefits for diabetics because they slow down how fast the body converts carbohydrates into simple sugars. So for the gentleman who we just spoke to, if he was making a shake, he could even put some chia seeds into that shake, and that would also control blood sugar. So that's really good. And then they're actually easier to digest than flax seeds. So I would say chia seeds, we could all be a big fan of them. And I've seen on your blog, you make a great pudding with them. You know, you could stick them in shakes as well. I mean, I love chia seeds. I like to warm up my unsweetened sunflower seed milk and put them in and add a little stevia or organic blueberries or strawberries to the mix. And then as far as the husk, so husk is really good for fiber. The thing with fiber is if we're not getting fiber like from our fruits and vegetables, you want to make sure that you drink a lot of water. Lots of times people will take it and not drink their water and they'll end up with some stomach aches and cramping. So, again, if you've never had it before, I would go slow because it is a bulking fiber. So once it's ingested, it does expand into a mass in the colon by drawing water in. So you just want to go slow and make sure you can handle it. But it also makes you feel full, and it should help with elimination.
Wonderful. Okay, so all good stuff.
Yes.
Well, okay, well, awesome. Go ahead, Spark.
Go ahead, finish your thought.
No, I mean, it's just, it's good stuff. And I encourage everyone to check out Nancy Guberti's website, which I posted, and her Twitter page, because she's always throwing up really good tips every day, sometimes throughout the day. If you didn't get your questions answered, check out her Pinterest and her Twitter, and you'll get lots of great information.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many places that people can contact you, Nancy. Is there anything that you want to leave with everybody for them to get in touch with you or see?
Well, first of all, I would just encourage individuals to really take charge of their health. I mean, this is why I so enjoy sharing information, because this information isn't readily available in our media, and it's so important. So we need to be our own health advocates for ourselves, and the more you listen and the more you read, you're going to learn so much more, and you're going to be empowered to lead a healthier lifestyle. So I would encourage everyone to do that. And then if you follow me on Facebook or Twitter or Pinterest, you'll definitely get to read on a daily basis health tips. I always put a motivational tip, because we have to stay motivated to be healthy. And then just, if you have any questions, you could tweet me. And then if you go on my website, nancyguberti.com, you could also sign up for my blog. I don't update that as frequently. And I am in the process of videotaping health series for, you know, for individuals who can't come out to the East Coast where I'm at when I'm giving out presentations. Again, it's just getting this information out to everyone is vital. And I would say your health is important, because you're so important, and you want to lead a healthier, happy lifestyle.
Absolutely. And you've helped me, and I know you've helped a lot of team members. And you do work with people long distance. You and I have never met, but, you know, I've been greatly, my health has improved and continues to improve. So I just can't say enough about you. You're the real deal.
Thank you.
And thanks for being here.
Thank you.
We loved having you as a guest, and you're welcome anytime. And people are going to get so much healthier and so much better and so much better educated by the show tonight, and when they go to your website and see all the great stuff on there and follow you on Twitter and check out the Pinterest page. I was just looking at that, and there's so much good information around that people need to see. So thank you very much for joining us tonight. I also want to thank most of our callers, everybody who joined us in the chat room. Stacy and Robert, you guys are awesome as always. We love doing the show, and we're so thankful that Dallas lets us represent DDP Yoga. And for everybody who's listening now and who will catch us on the podcast when it's posted, thank you. Remember to start where you are, use what you have, and do what you can. And if the 10% comes a knock-in, kick it right in the ass and live life at 90%.
Checked it today, man. That was a great workout, man.
The powerbomb set up by Paige.
Oh!
Into the diamond cutter.
I don't believe it. Diamond cutter out of the powerbomb.
We're going home.
You've been listening to DDP Radio. Tune in again next week for another edition of DDP Radio with more great guests, inspiration, and news from Diamond Dallas Page and Team DDP Yoga. Keep up all the great work, and most importantly,
own your life.
This has been a presentation of DDP Yoga and Blog Talk Radio.